I suppose I should begin this sermon by acknowledging two things. First, when I wrote this sermon, I drew a certain amount of inspiration from a video of a TED Talk that I watched last week. The person speaking was an Anglican priest named Peter Owens Jones, a guy who looks more like one of the hippies who populated the landscape of my childhood behind the Redwood Curtain than, say, a vicar on the set of Downton Abbey. And that's kind of why I liked him. Now, that's not to say that I lifted things from this. I didn't lift much directly from his talk for this sermon, but the TED Talk got me thinking in ways that I found helpful. And if you're interested in watching that TED Talk, I will post it on our church's Facebook page this afternoon. And if you're among the blessed few who are not addicted to the crack that is Facebook, if you are among the world's limited number of nonconformists, individualists, free-thinking refuseniks, if you are a lemming with the courage to run away from the cliff, which is to say, if you're not participating in social media, send me an email if you still want to watch the video, and I will send you a link. This morning's lesson from Mark deals in the currency of, well, currency. It deals in the currency of currency. And one of the reasons that I acknowledge the ways in which Peter Owen Jones' talk sort of got me thinking for this sermon, one of the reasons I told you about that is that it gave me the opportunity to put off talking about money from the pulpit. This is classic avoidance, and it's the second thing I want to acknowledge. I've just preached more than 10% of my sermon, and I haven't dealt with the issue of money, something that cannot be avoided in a sermon on the widow's mite. And money, it's a topic that few preachers really want to address. I mean, some preachers are happy to talk about money. They'll tell you all the reasons you should give to the church to make sure the pastor has a private jet in which to fly to important ministry events in Palm Beach. Or you should give money to the church so that the pastor's wife, St. Bernard, can have an air-conditioned doghouse. Or whatever. But good pastors hesitate to talk about money too much from the pulpit, because a sure sign of abusive religion is a pastor who talks too much about money, who uses his or her spiritual power and privilege to coerce the faithful into giving more than they are able to give, who tries to control how members of the flock spend, save, or otherwise use their money. So good pastors, pastors worth their salt, pastors who do not want to be religious bullies or even appear to be spiritually abusive, these good pastors tend to want to avoid the subject of money altogether and focus instead on the subject that Jesus talked about the most, which unfortunately was money. So rats, that's 20% of the sermon gone, so let's get on with it. This morning's lesson for Mark is one that the Common Lectionary recommends for preaching every year during November, and I tend to follow the Common Lectionary because it forces me to have new ideas when I preach. Anyway, the Common Lectionary, which is a list of recommended readings for various kinds of churches, it recommends preaching on this passage during November because traditionally this is the time of year when churches gather their annual pledges and get ready to solicit big year-end gifts. And even though our stewardship campaign, our annual pledge drive, happens in the spring, still, everyone who studies and thinks about congregational health says pastors should talk about stewardship, which is what we call giving to the church, more often than once a year, especially during November, it's good. So let me say this, to satisfy those who say it's a good idea to talk about giving, let me say this. Montclair Presbyterian Church is an amazing congregation doing wonderful work at home and around the world. We are one of the few progressive congregations in the East Bay that is growing and that has a strong youth program and a great Sunday school program, which we call Godly Play. We're committed to being a church with folks from every walk of life, from every background, of every orientation, every system of belief or lack of belief. We want the rainbow of humanity, the rainbow of human diversity, to be refracted in this jewel of a congregation. And I hope you will join me as you are able in supporting our work with your finances, with your talents, with your abilities, and especially with the gift of your presence here on Sunday morning and in our programs throughout the week. And of course, we're especially excited to talk to you about how you might support our church as we endeavor to build a sustainable future through the work of our capital campaign. And as I mentioned earlier, you're going to be able to see a little bit about what we're doing after the celebration if you want to go join us for the groundbreaking and blessing ceremony before family hour. But now, having said all that, I'm actually not sure the passage that Seth read to us before the sermon, the story of the widow's mite, that's how it's mentioned in the King James Version. I'm not sure the story of the widow's mite is really a good passage to read when we talk about financial support for the church. Montclair Presbyterian Church is a nonprofit organization. We only survive because of your grateful, you are generous, and we are terribly grateful for your generosity. But this is a story about someone who gave everything she had. And no one expects you to give everything you have. We survive on kindness and generosity, not upon financial ruin. And besides, when Jesus talks about money in the Bible, he's usually concerned about the effect that money can have upon the human soul. He wasn't so much concerned about fundraising. So the question is, what are we to make of the story about a woman who puts her last coins into the offering plate? Jesus tells us that she gave more than any of the wealthy people who gave greater sums, because she gave everything. And the implication seems to be that we too should give everything. At least that's the traditional interpretation of this passage. Be like the good woman and pony up. Pastor needs a Porsche. But I want to suggest an alternative understanding to the story of the widow's mite, one that started rattling around in my brain as I was watching the aforementioned TED Talk. In that TED Talk, Peter Owens Jones looks at how we are leaving the whole world to subsequent generations. And we're not leaving the world as good as we found it, the whole world, not just part of it. And so we have to care for all of creation. And further, we need to build societies and religions that honor all of life. And we need to see ourselves as being part of, as being citizens, not just of a single country, but of a global home. He was calling us in that TED Talk to a sense of wholeness, an idea that all life is interconnected. And inspired by that vision for wholeness and unavoidable interdependence, I want to suggest that whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, we are already spending all of our money, already giving all of our time, already using all of our talents, burning through all of our resources, liquidating all of our savings, and I mean this both literally and figuratively. Even if you have, everything you have currently is being used one way or another. Everything you are, one way or another, is being spent. Every last resource, one way or another, whether you know it or not, is being leveraged. You already are spending your widow's mite. The question is, are you spending it well? Already you are giving of yourself completely, but are you giving of yourselves in ways that are healthy and appropriate? And here's what I mean, and I'll start with finances. Every one of us has some limited and finite amount of financial resources. Some of us live paycheck to paycheck. Others of us have been able, one way or another, to save money and to invest that money for use at some later date. Either way, all of our money is being spent, because even money that is being put into a retirement account or squirreled away into a private bank account in the Cayman Islands, it's being used. It's paying for something. You may think of it as a passive asset just sitting there in reserve, accruing interest, but in reality, that money is being spent. It's being used to purchase long-term security, or it's being used as a payment to secure wealth. But nothing really does nothing. All of it is being used one way or another, and the same is true for the resources of our time and energy. Even if you take it easy for the most part, watching soap operas during the day and playing Candy Crush at night without a care in the world, still, you're giving of your time and your energy to something. And maybe that you're giving yourself over to the lazy and empty pleasures of sloth, but you are giving of yourself. And the question that the story of the widow's mite begs of us is this: are you giving of yourself to that which is good and godly? Are you spending your financial, personal, and emotional and spiritual resources in ways that are good for you? Ways that strengthen your relationships and your community? Are they going to support efforts that create peace and ease suffering of God's children? Are they going in ways, are you using your resources in ways that heal the earth? Rabbi Michael Lerner speaks of building a society that values a new and different kind of bottom line. A society that puts people before profits and well-being before wealth, peace before prosperity. And I think that's a good way to think about how we're spending the widow's mite that is our lives. Are we giving of ourselves and of our resources in ways that yield a righteous, peaceful, whole return? Now, this is something that the poor address every day. Those who struggle daily to ends meet, struggle daily to make ends meet, struggle daily to feed families, to pay bills, to put a roof overhead, they know that every dollar has to be considered and weighed. Similarly, those who are overworked, overextended, and stressed out, we know that every minute of every day must be savored and must be used. But if I read this story, the story of the widow's mite, correctly, then even those with disposable wealth need to pay attention to how their assets are being spent. And even those with too much time on their hands need to pay attention to how they are giving of themselves. We are all spending the widow's mite one way or another. And the challenge is that more often than not, our default spending habits, whether we're rich or poor, is not healthy for the earth or for the human communities that inhabit the world with us. Much of what we purchase is manufactured by underpaid laborers in unsafe conditions far away. Much of what we eat is produced in ways that destroy soil, contaminate air, and pollute water. Our transportation choices and our energy consumption are causing the Earth's climate to change and its oceans to acidify. We're using our widow's mite to purchase a world that we will in turn pass on to generations yet unborn. And it belongs to us to ask if we are spending our resources in ways that are wise and just and peaceable and good. The ways we give of ourselves is similarly fraught. Surely we have to spend time working to support ourselves and our families, but we also need time for recreation and exercise and for bonding with our loved ones. We need to give time to the good work of our church and of other organizations who are doing great things. And we need to give of ourselves artistically and aesthetically. But is that all in balance? More often than not, the default for the giving of the widow's mite that is our lives tends to be set by external forces that do not care about our well-being, rather than by internal voices of wisdom and health or the guidance of the Spirit who creates us and loves us and wants us to be well. A society that values status and wealth directs us to work too hard at jobs that we really may not like. A society that tells us we aren't good enough unless we are able to squeeze ourselves into unrealistic expectation has us exercising too hard and eating too little and trying to please everyone around us so that we'll come across as a hybrid of Mother Teresa and Marilyn Monroe and Mary Poppins. And that doesn't really do good for anyone. You have a widow's mite that is your life. You have a widow's mite that is everything you have. And the good news is that you really can spend what is yours in ways that are healthy and peaceful and righteous and good. No matter how much money you do or do not have, regardless of how much free time you have, you can make financial and personal decisions that are healthy and balanced and that bring healing to the earth. What that looks like will be different for each one of us, but I invite you to evaluate how you are spending and using the widow's mite of your resources, your finances, your time, your energy. And as you evaluate, as you do an audit of your spending, use it as an opportunity to live a better, healthier, more meaningful life, a life that brings you joy, a life that brings peace to the world, a life that walks in closer company with the beloved community that is the kingdom of God. Amen.